The Ewan Grant Podcast, the Limestone Coast Triple M.
G'day, it's Ewan. Welcome to the Ewan Grant Podcast and welcome to everyone joining me on the Listener app. A tough subject today, but how would you cope with the sudden loss of a loved one? There's been a number of suicides in the region recently, and Tracy Wanganeen from Standby will talk about how to cope with loss. Tony Passon, member for Mount Gambier, has some great news for the region with a cash splash recently for the Limestone Coast from the federal government. And I talk policing news with Danielle from SAPOL, talking a scrub fire at Port Mac, the Mount Gambier show, mask wearing at local venues, COVID direction changes, and the human remains that were found near Robe. Let's kick it all off talking to Tracy Wanganeen from Standby. Tracy is the coordinator of Standby. Tracy, good morning.
Good morning, Ewan.
Tracy, for those who don't know about the great work that you and Standby do, tell me what you guys are all about.
Okay, so we're a post-pension service, and our title tells you what we do because we're Standby Support After Suicide. So we are a free service available to anybody that has been impacted or affected by suicide at any time. So it doesn't have to be recent. It could have been from years ago. They can still access our service. Unfortunately, if we've been exposed to suicide, we can be at risk of considering suicide. Now, that's not for everybody, but the risk is there. So the important thing is to make sure that we have support, whether it's a professional service or whether it's the support of the people and the family around us.
And open lines of communication, Tracy. I mean, it's good to be able to talk about the things that you are feeling.
Absolutely. Instead of bottling it up or pushing it down, we need to talk about it so it doesn't become so overwhelming.
So, Tracy, there is a lot of talk in the Limestone Coast community at the moment about a number of suicides that have taken place. And one of the, I suppose, big topics that we have talked about in the Triple M offices is if you're a family member or you are a friend of someone who has taken their life, how do you deal with that eventuality and move on in life? Because it's something that quite literally could derail you from your journey in life.
Well, any loss in life, Ewan, does change it. Like, we never get over our grief, but we learn to walk with it. So you will find that eventually you start to laugh at things again. You start to find joy in your life again. But there's no right and wrong way to grieve, and there's no time frame within which to grieve. And so life will never be exactly the same. And that's when we lose anybody in life, not just through suicide.
So, Tracy, for people who may have been affected by recent events, how can they reach out to Standby and maybe start a conversation with you and the team?
Yeah, absolutely. So Standby is now a national service. We're available to every Australian, thanks to government funding. And we now have a national number, which is 1300 727 247, and that will be answered 24/7. So even after hours, there is a service that will speak with you and arrange for me to call you back first thing the next morning. So ring that number at any time. Have a look at the Standby national website. It's got some wonderful resources on there. And if you just want to know how to support someone, you don't feel so upset yourself, but you're wanting to support friends or family and you're not sure how to go about that, call us to do that as well. We often support the supporters.
And Tracy, for anybody who is trying to deal with an issue of loss at the moment, I mean, what would be the first steps and the advice that you would give someone?
Okay. Be kind to yourself. Don't expect too much of yourself. Try to maintain a routine as best you can and don't feel alone. Make sure that you are speaking with someone, whether it be one of the amazing helplines that are out there. Talk to a friend. Just don't feel so alone. It can feel very isolating when we're going through grief, but, you know, sharing that space with someone else can be a great comfort.
Tracy, terrible circumstances to be talking to. It is terrible to talk about loss in the Limestone Coast like this. But thank you for joining us this morning, and one hopes people take the opportunity to reach out.
Thank you, Ewan.
Tracy Wanganeen from Standby Support. You can find out more online, standbysupport.com.au. You can reach out to Standby by calling 1300 727 247. You can also reach out to Lifeline Australia on 13 11 14. Now, there has been a cash splash from the federal government across the Limestone Coast. Tony Passon joins me to chat about it. G'day, Tony.
Good morning, Ewan.
Hey, Tony, live music is coming back to Robe. What's going on?
Well, great news for live music lovers in the southeast. The Caledonian Inn will receive $17,500 through round three of the Live Music Australia program. And what that will mean is that the Caledonian Inn will provide a summer of live music in Robe, which I know will be something people will very much look forward to, because as we emerge from COVID, we remind ourselves of the things we've missed, and live music and live venues are something that people are clamouring to get back to.
Well and truly. And mate, some good news for shows as well. I mean, we've got a couple of shows that are going on around the region, but it's been a tough time.
It has been, and last year we provided support for those ag shows and field days that were unable to have a show or a field day in 2020. And as you say, there are some shows this year that have been able to go ahead, but others, because of health advice, haven't been able to go ahead. And as a result, we've provided a second round of the Ag Show and Field Day support program, $25 million, which means there are about five shows and field days in Barker that can benefit from this fund, not least of which is the Southeast Field Days at Lucendale. Now, those kind of events, Ewan, run on the smell of an oily rag. The money you make this year funds the program for next year. So when there's been a cancellation of an event, it causes a real risk that the event might not be able to be returned. And when it happens 2 years in a row, then you are right up against it. And this funding means that those events and shows that have had to be cancelled, including not just the Lucendale Field Days, but also the Panola Show, for example, will be able to receive funding to mean that they'll be in a position to deliver their show and their field day in 2022.
Now, Tony, there's been, and I don't say this lightly, a splash of cash across the Limestone Coast under the Building Better Regions Fund as well. It's great news for our community.
Yeah, so three really significant projects. The Blue Lake Golf Club, an 18-hole mini golf course, is going to be established up there, $171,000. The overall project's over $400,000, so I'm really looking forward to taking the kids to mini golf. I don't think it'll be the old-style mini golf. It'll be pretty intense. The Millicent and District Basketball Association received $211,000 to upgrade their facility, in particular the spectator and community area. And the Tattiyarra District Council are continuing to have real difficulty with worker accommodation, received $335,000 towards building two four-unit accommodation blocks, which are so important, particularly to the land producers in the southeast, because, of course, the major employer in the Tattiyarra border town is the JBS Meatworks, which processes lambs from across the southeast. So they're great outcomes under the Building Better Regions Fund.
Now, Tony, one last thing to talk about, and I think it's a great idea. Federal government funding is involved. The Coonawarra Rail Trail first sod has been turned.
Yeah, 30-kilometre stretch along the rail corridor between Panola and the Father Woods Tree through the Coonawarra. It's going to be transformative. I think the Water Range Council has taken a strong lead from what they've seen in the city of Mount Gambier in relation to our rail precinct. And I've got to tell you, Ewan, in recent days I've had Ben Hood knock on my door to say this is something he would like to see stretching from Mount Gambier all the way to Narracourt. And wouldn't it be great to get on your bike, or if you're a bit unfit like me, an e-bike or other bicycle, and take yourself on a tour for between Mount Gambier, Panola, Coonawarra, Narracourt Caves. You can stop into Kalangadoo on the way. Be a great opportunity for tourism and to activate properties either side of the rail line. And of course, this would be a safe way to get kids out and riding, because you're not on the main road. Nobody, and I mean nobody, would get on a bike and go on a winery tour through the Konawarra if you have to ride on the Ridoc Highway with, you know, heavy freight and very fast-moving cars. So this is a great solution and a good tourism outcome.
Tony, it is a fantastic project. I cannot wait for your vision to be realised where we see the entire Limestone Coast covered. Hey, thanks for joining us this morning, mate.
Always a pleasure, Ewan. Have a good day.
I must admit, I am a huge fan of the rail trails right the way across the Limestone Coast, and I can't wait for this one to be completed. Time to catch up with what is happening across the region. Policing-wise, Danielle from SAPOL joins me. G'day, Danielle.
Good morning, Ewan.
Danielle, first things first, disturbing news. Some bones were found at Robe during the course of the last week.
Yes, an investigation continues after the discovery of bones found in the sand dunes at Norakarina near Robe on Wednesday the 20th of October. The origin of the deceased and circumstances of the death remain unexplained. Forensic examination was undertaken on Thursday the 21st of October at the site of the discovery, where the bones were collected and conveyed to Adelaide for further forensic testing. If anyone with information on the incident, please contact Crime Stoppers on 1-800-333-000.
And Danny, there was, I suppose, a bit of speculation at the very start of this investigation, but these bones are definitely human, aren't they?
Yes, so we've sent them off for further forensic testing, but at this stage it indicates that they are human bones, yes.
Danielle, Mangambi Show was on the weekend. Hopefully everybody was very well behaved.
Yes, it occurred over the weekend with Premier Stephen Marshall in attendance. A crowd attendance was more structured this year due to COVID compliance requirements. However, everyone was well behaved and no police attendance was required for any offences, which is great.
Absolutely. And speaking of COVID compliance, we need to talk about hotels and pubs and being compliant.
Yeah, so unfortunately over the weekend, security have had to remove two persons from Max Hotel in Mount Gambier who were refusing to wear their masks. We advise that it's still a requirement to wear masks in indoor spaces, except when there's an exemption that can be provided.
Mm, absolutely. Now, there was a scrub fire at Port Mac. What can you tell me about that, Danielle?
Yeah, so on Saturday, police attended to a scrub fire at the intersection of Tilly's Road and Millard's Road in Port Mac. This was caused by a flare that had originated near the beach and landed in the scrub. Approximately 10 hectares of scrub was burnt. We ask that people are vigilant coming up into the warmer weather and ensuring that dry scrub is not overgrown and obviously that marine safety devices are used correctly.
And Danielle, do we know whether this flare was being used correctly at the time somebody was in trouble or what the situation was?
We have no further details as to the origin of the flare and where it has come from. Unfortunately, it just landed in the scrub, but CFS have been advised.
Absolutely. Now, there's been some cross-border changes that have taken place over the course of the weekend as well. What can you tell me?
Yep, so the Emergency Management Cross-Border Travel Association number 59 has come into effect at 12:46 p.m. on Friday the 22nd of October. Key changes include New South Wales cross-border community members. The New South Wales cross-border corridor has been reinstated, and cross-border community members who have not left the cross-border corridor or have not associated with persons outside the New South Wales cross-border corridor in the past 14 days are permitted to travel anywhere within South Australia without restriction, but all New South Wales cross-border community members must produce evidence of having received at least one dose of the TGA-approved COVID-19 vaccine in order to be permitted to enter South Australia. The New South Wales cross-border corridor includes the local government area of Broken Hill and the townships of Manor Hill, O'Lowry, Tikalina and Coburn. With Victorian cross-border community members, Victorian cross-border community members are no longer required to produce evidence of a COVID-19 test or a negative COVID-19 test result within 7 days before their arrival, nor do they need to undertake a COVID-19 test within 48 hours of entering South Australia. If anyone requires any further information, you can call the SA COVID-19 information line on 1-800-253-787. between the hours of 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. 7 days a week, or go to the SA Health website, which is www.sahealth.sa.gov.au or www.sa.gov.au/COVID-19.
And Danielle, it must be great news for our cross-border community members, but also for the police who are on the borders, making sure everybody's doing the right thing, because it must be an awful lot that the police have to have their head around to be able to allow access to our border.
Yeah, and it's constantly changing, but having been on the border a lot myself, everyone is really patient and understands the job that we're doing and the role that we're doing. And we haven't had any major issues down at our local border stops, which has been great. Everyone's just been really patient with us, which we really appreciate.
Danielle from SAPOL talking to us this morning. Lots of stuff going on around the Limestone Coast that the police are looking after. That's it for today's podcast. I'll be back on Friday. For everything Limestone Coast, you can catch up with me live on radio from 6 a.m. weekday mornings on the Limestone Coast 963 Triple M.